Canadian Party of Quebec Eastern Townships Regional Association held a public meeting on Sunday, April 23rd, at the Club de la Bonne Humeur in Bonneville. For its first public event, Colin Standish, who is the leader of the party, a constitutional lawyer, a language rights advocate, and townshipper, alongside Mirtis Fossey, a former candidate for the party and clinical psychologist, focused on Bill 96 and its impact on health services. Bill 96 is Quebec's new language law, and certain elements of the bill will be implemented as of June 1, 2023. As a result, the Canadian Party of Quebec Eastern Townships Regional Association put together this event to inform townshippers of these changes and the impacts it may have on the daily lives of Quebecers. Good day, listeners. I am your host, Taylor McClure, for CIDI's Daily News Show, and you are tuning in to Townships Daily News Bits. Today's episode will see me chat with Colin and all things Bill 96. Colin, I just wanted to start off by thanking you so much for reaching out to CIDI to speak about the event that happened this weekend to address Quebec's new language law, Bill 96. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, great to be here.
So the Canadian Party of Quebec Eastern Townships Regional Association, as I mentioned, held a public meeting in Bonneville to discuss Bill 96. Why did you and members of the party think it was important to hold this meeting at this time?
Yeah, so we're really proud to kick off our Eastern Townships Regional Association with our first event. As you mentioned, in Bonneville at the Bonterre Community Center, we had our former Borough Missisquoi candidate, Lynn Moore. She chaired the event. It was very successful. We had literally a full house that there were more people than chairs available, and really people from all over the townships as well, people from Richmond, from Stanstead, from Barrie. So people came for over an hour away to attend. So it was really wonderful to see such an engaged audience. And we decided to make our first chapter meeting on Bill 96, that Bill 96 has unfortunately been law for almost a year now. So we wanted to remind people of, you know, what's really going on with Bill 96 as it's implemented. And there are new aspects of the law that are being implemented on June 1st. We wanted to try to engage the public with what's really going on.
Yeah. Now, Bill 96, for those who have studied the bill, such as yourself, it impacts all areas of everyday life for Quebecers. So from your perspective, how will this change the landscape of our province, more particularly when it comes to the understanding of our human rights and the divisions of power in our country? I read your op-ed in the Record before our interview just to get some background context. And there you discussed the Declaration of Quebec as a nation and how it will impact our understanding of the Constitution and the legal framework that guides our country.
Yes, great question. And Bill 96 really is a watershed piece of legislation. Many aspects of it are flagrantly unconstitutional, but it really is a holistic restructuring of our country and our society. And I tried in that recent op-ed to really give the conceptual framework for what's really going on. It is over 201 articles of law. There's a laundry list of things that are changing our everyday life. But really, what does it mean at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. So in many ways, there is a constitutional amendment in it, but it's very unconstitutional in its form and substance. It says Quebec is a nation solely defined by French, that is the official language, and Quebecers themselves are a nation. So it's a nation twofold over, and that's inserted into our 1867 Constitution. And this is a radical perspective from mine and many other scholars' perspectives to insert that unilaterally into the Canadian Constitution, that a province does not have the right to do so. And as well, that our Constitution is a binary document. You have provinces, you have the federal government. That's where jurisdictions are allocated to have some sort of self-declared nation inserted into it. What does that mean, and what is that going to do over time? You know, it's sort of a question mark, but certainly it changes the framework of our country in a very fundamental way. Secondly, that basically all our fundamental freedoms now, with the invocation of the notwithstanding clause, provincially and federally, as well changes to, there's other lesser known changes that are talked about, but basically the Civil Code of Quebec, the Code of Civil Procedure, the Interpretive Act, a variety of very important pieces of legislation that determine our private and public rights have been changed by Bill 96 that say basically French predominance is more important than your other rights, and all of those rights are interpreted through a framework of French predominance. And what that means over time is, you know, it will remain to be seen, but it really does distort the entirety of our legal system. So very important changes that have happened, and as well, it needs to be understood alongside Bills 21, Bill 40, the Oath Amendment, the Supreme Court nominations appointment agreement that they did in 2019, is that it's just changing. It's very similar to what would have happened in the Meech Lake Charlottetown Senate boards passed, or perhaps one of the referendums been successful, that it really is a holistic change to the way we live our lives. And that's what I wanted to impart upon individuals with this, with the op-ed, and then as well with the meeting this weekend.
Yeah, there's lots of changes going on, and lots of changes that many people don't understand because of the links that it has to this legal framework that's so dense.
So
having people such as yourself lay that out, I'm sure people really appreciated that. From my understanding, you're a constitutional lawyer?
Yeah, correct. I'm a lawyer, and I've studied constitutional law at Osgoode Hall and University of Laval.
And you're the party leader, the Canadian Party of Quebec, and you're also a language rights advocate. So as you've been discussing, you've pointed out some aspects of Bill 96 that you deem unconstitutional, especially throughout your candidacy in last year's Quebec election as well, and when you founded the Task Force on Linguistic Policy. So I was wondering if you could start off by highlighting some of these unconstitutional aspects of Bill 96, more in terms of health and social services. So what should Quebecers know about Bill 96 and its impact on our access to health and social services here in the province? It's kind of confusing for some people. The provincial government has expressed at various points in times at press conferences that our right to have health and social services English will not be impacted. But from the perspective of individuals that have studied the bill, apparently it says otherwise.
Yeah, so the verbal assurances by certain ministers of the premier really don't hold any legal weight. And however, the bill they drafted does, and it certainly contradicts the statements that have been made. So certainly our ability to access all government services, not just healthcare, but all of them in the language of our choice, will be impacted. Haven't already been, but will significantly be impacted after June 1st, 2023. So what's coming down the pipeline that Mirtis Fossey spoke about, and it's basically end of June 1st this year, so 1 year after the legislation was brought into force, is that you'll have to basically prove that you're English language education eligible to receive government services. So what this means is basically many people here in the province of Quebec, I know I probably have one somewhere, is an eligibility certificate. So essentially, if one of your parents went to English schooling in Canada, you have the right to English schooling in Quebec. If you're a newcomer, even from the United Kingdom or the U.S., you don't have the right to go to English school. Francophones who are unilingual or didn't go to French school or English school with their parents, they don't have the right to go to English school. This is fairly well known, even though I think it's very unfortunate that people should have determined the best language for their kids, but this is not the case, unfortunately, in Quebec. So basically, that criteria that is used for English educational attainment in this province at the primary and secondary level will now determine your access to all services from the Quebec government, including healthcare services. Okay. So that means as of June 1st, we're going to have to prove somehow that we have a certificate of eligibility or went to English language schooling. They haven't actually let us know what they're going to use to determine it, but and as well, this really limits the English-speaking population from about 1.2 million people who have first official language spoken or home language English in the province of Quebec, really down to 300,000 to 400,000 individuals who can prove that they went to English language schooling in Quebec or the rest of Canada. So it really does truncate the population that'll be able to be served in the English language, and as well your rights to receive that in a variety of institutions.
Like you mentioned, not everyone will have that certificate, or it'll be very difficult for them to access it, because from my understanding, it has to be the parent that has to apply to receive this certificate. So there are some people who their parents have passed on. So how are they supposed to receive that certificate? It's very strange.
Yes, so great question. And so I pointed it out in the op-ed is that, is to get the eligibility certificate. It can only be requested by a parent. But if you happen to go to school in English public education before the year 1977, as many baby boomers would have done, you didn't have an eligibility certificate. It wasn't required until the late 1970s and early 80s as Bill 101 came into force. And then as well, if your parents have passed away, which might be the case for people of a certain age, if you're 60 years or older, people's parents unfortunately pass away generally at a certain age, you really don't have an option to get an eligibility certificate. There is no way in Bill 101, I believe it's Article 72, is that a parent can order eligibility certificate, et cetera, et cetera. There's not actually a written criteria for you to request it for yourself. So you're going to have a variety of people. The most unilingual parts of our society are generally older individuals, the sickest people, older individuals. These people will not be able to access English language services in the language of their choice come June 1st. That's the way the law is written.
Yeah, so it's just creating another challenge to ensuring that they have access to this.
There's a huge barrier and impediment, yeah.
Yeah, there's another aspect of that would you like to highlight for our listeners, and it's the impacts that Bill 96 will have for newcomers now that these changes are coming in this summer.
Yeah, another aspect of June 1st is that newcomers there, and this is had a fair amount of media about it, that within after 6 months that newcomers will only be able to interact with the government in the French language. And I think this has been widely ridiculed because, of course, the French language is takes many years, even decades, to learn appropriately. I know I've lived my life in Quebec, and my French is far from perfect, and I've invested many hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars to improve my French language. It's a very difficult language, even if you want to learn it and dedicate yourself to it. You know, newcomers as well aren't just people who have been here for a number of months or years. I mean, this can go back 30, 40, 50 years, people who came from the United States and the United Kingdom, from Europe or around the world, who might have lived their lives in English. Suddenly, they're considered newcomers who can only receive services in English going forward after June 1st.
Not only that, but it's kind of also hindering the rights that businesses have here in Quebec as well, from my understanding, in certain ways.
Yeah, so for businesses, there's a variety of things that have come into that are already in force. They are very arbitrary search and seizure aspects, that you don't need a warrant. If there's a hypothetical complaint of non-compliance under Bill 96, you can go in and search and seize not only the computers and documents of the owner or the business, but actually the employees of the clients who might be there. And you can levy up to $90,000 in fines. So it's a very punitive system they've installed. And yeah, and so for, and as well, one thing that hasn't been spoken about a lot, new owners regulations for professionals, right? That you can only communicate in French. So Murtis brought this up, and other professionals have as well, that even if you're treating an English-speaking patient, that you actually need to take notes in French only, right? So it really limits the ability to serve your client as a lawyer, as a notary, as a psychologist, as a doctor, communicating with other professionals, or the professional orders need to be done just in French only. So it really does change the way we are going to live our lives in regards to professional service. There's other 400,000 professionals in Quebec, and then they serve, obviously, millions of Quebecers, but that's a huge change. I don't think it's gotten much scrutiny by the general public.
Yeah, and what's difficult for these doctors and these psychologists that are going to be presented with these changes is that Bill 96 clashes with their code of ethics as well.
Yep, certainly, and I think Murtis, one of the co-presenters of the conference, said, it should be your ability, to hold a scalpel, not to conjugate French verbs, that should determine your ability to practice your profession, right? And so that is actually not the case currently in Quebec, where there are actually numerous burdens to getting French language accreditation if you're a professional, but now it's going to be sort of re-credentialing every couple of years, and then once again the burden of actually practicing your profession will be quite heavy.
And from my understanding, this also applies to like federal businesses as well now.
Yeah, so yes, one big change of Bill 96, and this is unconstitutional, and it's surprising to see that the federal government is going along with it, as well as other large corporations. But so there are federally regulated private sector businesses. So there are big businesses like CN Rail, like Air Canada, like Bell, Kudo, Rogers, all big banks. Those are actually federally chartered and federal jurisdiction businesses. So their employees, the way they operate in most parts is determined by federal laws and legislation, not actually by provincial laws. This is not always well understood, but it's sort of a division of powers going back to our 1867 constitution. So there are employees in Quebec and the rest of Canada who are regulated by the federal government, not by the provinces they work in. And so with Bill 96, they're saying, well, everything in Quebec is going to be under the aegis of the OQLF, under Bill 101, under Bill 96. And we've actually seen in just the last few weeks, CN Rail and Air Canada say, yeah, we're gonna apply Bill 96, which to me is quite unthinkable, obviously for a variety of reasons, but as well, they have obligations under the Official Languages Act of Canada, the federal one, which says English and French have equality of status and people get to be choosing the language of their choice and employees can work in the language of their choice, etc. How that is going to work with Bill 96 is a big question mark, because they seem to be obviously a very large contradiction in between Bill 96's onerous burdens for French predominance or French only, and the ability to live your life in the language of your choice.
I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to highlight, Colin, that may have came out of the public meeting that you held last weekend that might be important to highlight for the community and for our listeners that may have not touched on in our conversation that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, no, it was really great to see people from all around the townships out in the town of Broome Lake this past weekend. Very engaged. People really want to know what they can do. And there's a variety of ways that people can take action, is to, once again, talk to their provincial members of the National Assembly, talk to federal MPs. So we have two cabinet ministers, Mary Clobie-Beau and Pascal St-Ange in the Eastern Townships. I would recommend to lobby them that we actually have up until June 1st, the federal government can disallow, you can actually nullify provincial law. So the federal government, Justin Trudeau and and the federal cabinet actually have the right to disallow Bill 96. We need to remind our federal MPs they can do so. But yeah, so to talk to your members of the National Assembly, send them an email, send them a letter, pick up the phone. These people are there and their staff to listen to what we have to say. So I encourage people to do so. You can also make a donation or volunteer to organizations. Obviously, there's the Canadian Party of Quebec that our donations are matched 2.5 to 1. There is the Task Force on Linguistic Policy. I'm the founder of that organization. I'm no longer intimately involved in the operations, but they're doing great work and they have a court challenge. They've just raised the first $25,000 for it and they've started drafting it. So it's the most solicited court challenge to date on Bill 96. People can donate to that, $5, $10, $20, $100. So please, give your time, give whatever you can financially, and inform your elected members of the National Assembly or the federal government.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Colleen, for providing that information for people. I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people decompress everything around Bill 96 and get a better understanding of what's to come. I really appreciate your time. If there's ever anything, please feel free to reach out to us to get this information out there.
Excellent. Such a really wonderful to chat today.
Townships Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.